אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We are reading in the writings of בעל הסולם, volume 2, page 404, the Gate House of Intentions. You can send questions to our site. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. The writings of בעל הסולם, volume 2, page 404, the Gate House of Intentions, chapter 1, item 1. There is an emanator, and there is an emanated. The emanated contains four elements: fire, wind, water, and dust. These are the four letters Havaya, as well as Chubtum, as well as Tanta. And they are Abiya, which are the four Pchinot in a man. One, the inner man, which is the spirituality, which is called Na'an Chai. Two, the body. Three, the clothing on the body. And four, the house in which man and his clothing dwell. Pashut, simple light, item one below. There's an emanator and there's an emanated. The emanated, it contains four elements and so forth. This teaches us a great rule that contains the entire wisdom to learn to know how the whole collective, with even its tiniest details, are all similar. Since all of reality, upper and lower together, are but five Pchinot, Keter, Chochma, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. These are called by the names of five worlds: Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Adam Kadmon is Keter, meaning the root of everything and the emanator. The world of Atzilut is Chochma. The world of Bria is Bina, the world of Yetzira is Tiferet, and the world of Asiya is Malchut. These are the four letters in the name Havaya. Yud is Chochma, the first He is Bina, Vav is Tiferet, and the bottom He is Malchut. They're also called Tamim, Nekudot, Tagin, and Otiyot. It follows that all the worlds are included in one Havaya, meaning Chochma and Bina, Tiferet and Malchut. And the tip of the Yud is regarded as the emanator, meaning the world of Ak. Correspondingly, there is not a single item in all of reality that does not contain these five Pchinot, Kachabtum. The reason for this is that everything is emanated and created only by the Sfira Malchut. And Malchut necessarily comprises the four Pchinot above it, which precede it, since she is the lowest of the five Pchinot. Hence, the first 10 Sfirot that emerged after the first Tzimtzum, the first restriction, which are called the world of Ak, or the line of Ein Sof, which begin near Ein Sof and ends at the point of this world, emerged by a Zivug in the Sfira Malchut, and therefore necessarily contains the above-mentioned five Pchinot, as well as the four worlds Abiya and all the details in them, which also emerge through a Zivug in the Sfira Malchut. Thus, there are the same five Pchinot in them as well. We should know that the 10 Sfirot Kachab Chagat Nehim are but the five Pchinot, which are the Kachabtum. We count 10 Sfirot because Tiferet contains 6 Sfirot, Chagat Nehi, within it. The reason Tiferet contains 6 Sfirot is because of the Hitkalelut of the Sfirot in one another, where each one is included in all of them. Thus, there are five Pchinot in Keter, five Pchinot in Chochma, five Pchinot in Bina, five prinot in Zeranpin, and five prinot in Malchut. However, the Itkalelut of Gar in Tiferet is not complete Itkalelut, because the Sfirat Tiferet is light of Chasadim and is regarded as guf, body. So how can it contain the three prinot kachab, which are essentially the light of Chochmah? For this reason, a Hitkalelut of Kachab is discerned in it, which descended from their degree and became the three Chasadim. This is why their name was changed to Chagat. And this is why the five Prinot in it are called Chagat Na, indicating that Kachab, that were included in Tiferet, became Chasadim in it, and do not contain Chochmah, while Netzach is in its own quality, and Hod is the Itkalelut of Malchut in it. Also, for this reason, they are called five Chasadim. There's also no complete Itkalelut of Kachab in Malchut, and in it too they are called Chagat, as in Zeranpin. While the five Prinot Chagat Na are named in it five Gvurot, since they are all discerned as Gvurot. Also, the Sfirat Yesod is a Hitkalelut of the five Chasadim in Tiferet and is not a new Prina in and of itself. Thus, these ten Sfirot are no more and no less than five Prinot, each of which contains them all. Also, there is a difference in this matter of Hitkalelut, since only Gar include all five Prinot in full, which is why they are considered to have complete kachab tum in each of them. But in Tiferet, where kachab became chasadim, although it consists of keter chokhmah bina, it still lacks them because they became chagat in it. This is why Tiferet is regarded as having six Sfirot Chagat Nehi, to emphasize the absence of Kachab in it. It follows that each Kachab consists of actual ten Sfirot, which are the three Prinot Kachab, the six Sfirot of Zeranpin, and Malchut. Since this innovation that was done in Zeranpin, whose five Prinot became five Chasadim, is also included in each of the Kachab. However, Zeranpin has only six Sfirot, Chagat Nehi, because it lacks the three Prinot, Keter Chochma Bina, but only the three Chasadim called Chagat. It follows that these Chagat Nehi, that are contained only in Tiferet, are not because of its merit over Gar, but on the contrary, it indicates the lack of Gar in it. The reason why the Ari counts only four Prinot Chubtum and not five Prinot Kachabtum is that Keter is regarded as the root of all four Prinot and is not counted along with them.
In short, if you have questions, go ahead, but only to the point. No. It's a sign you didn't understand anything. Because if you understood something, you would ask about what you didn't understand. If you don't understand anything, then there are no questions at all. That's at least the way it is for me.
Ken?
Yes?
Prior to that, when we read the introduction to Tess, you said, make an effort. In what way do I need to approach this text? Do I need to try analytically to think, here it's written this way, here it's written that way?
Good question. First of all, it's a good question. You're asking this, should I relate to it as to some remedy or as to science, knowledge? Both ways. You have to try to intellectually understand what he's writing. Of course, you don't understand what are Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, etc. But the way he arranges things for you, that one contains the other and another contains the other, then there is some sort of logic here. And that logic you need to grasp. That's it. Yes?
And it's things that we learned in TAS and all that, and I remember, should I try to...
Where did you learn in TAS? I didn't learn anything in TAS.
I'm sorry, Pticha?
No, I didn't learn Pticha either.
So if I come now as an empty page to this text, then what is there to ask here?
To ask. Ask about what he's writing. I don't rely on having learned something in the past. He says there are 10 sefirot. The 10 sefirot divide into kachab, chagat, nehim. Why do they divide this way? What's the difference between kachab and chagat and nehim? What's the difference between chagat and naim and achab? What's the difference between Chokhmah and Chasadim that there are in these 10 sefirot? Why are there 10? We only have two lights, light of Chokhmah and light of Chasadim. So why are there 10 here? What kind of phenomena do we have here? Where does it come from? He wants to explain to us how the light which operates on the will to receive suddenly creates in the will to receive 10 discernments. Why? And then he tells you, what are these discernments? How they are interconnected? Because this is the whole of creation. In the beginning of creation, there was nothing, right? Before the creatures were created and emanations were emanated, the upper simple light filled the whole reality. So there was just the will to receive, existence from absence, and light that filled it. When it came upon his will to create, etc., creations, then there is already some directed act. Here he's telling you what is happening in that act. You don't need to remember what you learned there. Yes?
It's not clear what this thing of the three prinot kachab are that go down and become the three chasadim.
We have keter, which is the desire of the upper one, seemingly detached from all of reality. This is the thought of creation, the creator, who wants to create. By what does he want to create? Through the light that emerges from him. The light that emerges from him is called Chokhmah. On what does the light operate? It operates on the will to receive. On the will to receive, when it begins to react to the light, it begins to change. And it changes. The change that happens in it is called Bina. So we have Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina. That's it. Afterwards, by the will to receive, working on Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina, other results happen. Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet. What does that mean? Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet are like Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina, except that there is no light of Chokhmah in them, but only light of Chasadim. Only light of a reaction, response of the created being, without it coming from the Creator. This is called Chagat. Chesed Gvuah Tiferet. It's like Kachab. And then there is a response from the created being, which are called Netzachot Yesod. And then there is Malchut, which comes out of this whole procession, the will to receive. So you have Keter from above, which is just a desire to bestow, and it's called the Creator. Below we have Malchut, which is only the desire to receive, which is called created being, or creature. And all the ones between them, these metamorphoses, these changes, transformations of light and desire, and desire and light, are what connect the emanators will to bestow with the emanated being desired to receive. And that whole mechanism is called neshama. Or Bria, creation. But besides this, there is nothing. And this is what we're talking about. Now, why did he call it Beit Shaar Kavanot, the gatehouse of intentions? Because when the created being begins to receive from the Creator, bestowal or influence from the Creator, he begins to rise from the still to the vegetative to the animate to the speaking. It begins to develop. The Creator creates within the will to receive development, evolution. It's like placing a seed in the ground, and the ground and the seed begins to grow. So, when the Creator created the will to receive to begin with, he planted in the will to receive a force, like in a nucleus or a seed, a force that can develop through the light. So we are learning how this malchut, which came last from above downward, as a result begins to develop back up until it gets back to Keter, until it reaches Keter. It's similar to Keter and even controls Keter. It's called My Sons Defeated Me. This is what we're learning. So this whole process from above downward and from below upward are called Bait, house. It is all done as one through the intentions of Malchut, which it develops toward Keter, toward the emanator, and is therefore called Beit Shaar HaKavanot, the gatehouse of intentions. They are all closed within the intentions of the Creator and the created being, and how they complement one another and become one thing. This is what it's about. Yes.
So actually, I don't know how to call it, but in this gatehouse of intentions, we're learning how to develop the relationship between Malchut.
Intentions. The relation of Malchut to Keter, the relation of the created being to the Creator. And by this, and according to this, we attain the Creator's relation to the creature. And then we clothe one intention over the other. The creature over the Creator, and the Creator over the creature, until we achieve dvikut, adhesion.
Usually, the way I know it, everything we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah is from above down.
No, of course not. Everything we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah is what Kabbalists attained from above downward, from below upward. And then they discovered what happens from above downward. You can't discover from above downward more than that you attain from below upward. It's all done through the Ochozer, reflected light. And without Ochozer, we don't know what's ahead of us, what's before us.
So I don't understand why this order starts, at least, to describe this cascading of things.
He's telling you there's an emanator and an emanated being.
Yeah, but how to approach the study now and build that relationship towards, or that attitude towards Keter, if this is what we're supposed to come out of
this
study.
Yes, all the learning is in order to build the relation to Keter, because it's the gatehouse of intentions. It's a special composition of Baal HaSulam. It's also from based on the writings of the Ari, but he wrote it as an introduction to a prayer book that he wanted to do. He was asked to compose a prayer book, and he agreed, although he didn't think about it and didn't want it, but he agreed. But he said this: before I write the prayer book, the prayer book with all the prayers and intentions and everything, a Kabbalistic prayer book. He was asked in England, there were a few wealthy guys who wanted him to write. They thought that by using a prayer book with these intentions, they'll be able to reach heaven. I heard it from Rabash. So he said, I can do it, but first I have to write an introduction to the prayer book. I said, fine. If you can't understand the prayer book without the introduction, then go ahead, write the introduction. So he sat down and wrote the introduction. He sat and wrote for a few months. They paid him, and he wrote. He used it in a good way. It's not like he lied to them. Except afterwards, I don't know why, but for some reason it didn't continue. He could have written it. He could have written it. I don't know how they would use it. They probably saw what the introduction was. So they said, okay, we don't need the prayer book. But that's my guess. I don't know. So that's how it turned out. But again, the introduction has to be in such a way that here it talks about the relation of the created being to the Creator, how we raise our intentions to the Emanator. That's it. So he always tells you about the Emanator and the Emanated and how the Emanated being works toward the Emanator.
Does he explain from the Emanated how it is to work towards the Emanator?
It's explained this way in all the wisdom of Kabbalah. What's the matter with you? That's the second time you asked this way today.
Now I'm saying if the relation is from the Emanated to the Emanator, then why from the end? He describes it from the end.
From Malchut toward Keter. How do we learn it? Only in the beginning, in the Or Yashar, direct light, you learn about the relation of the Emanator to the Emanated being. Afterwards, you learn all the time the reaction of the Emanated being to the Emanator, the Tzimtzum and Masach and El Chozer. And this all matter, afterwards, it's all the work of the Emanated being.
Yes, but I mean, from the side of our work, it seems like the end of the process and not what's now needed for us, truly.
Now we need to work toward the Emanator. What are you talking about?
Yes, but it looks like, you know, the work that we have towards the Emanator, there's first stage and there's tenth stage, and we're learning first the tenth stage.
What tenth? I don't know. I'm in a ten. Now I have to determine my relation to the Creator, who is hidden in the ten. What should I do? Tzimtzum, Masach, or Chozer. Right? We need to connect and start working toward the Emanator. We are constantly stepping on this point. We're treading in the same spot. We have to finally take a step forward. I can't hear you.
It's really not clear to me. If we're doing now the 10, work in the 10, we come to restriction in Masach and El Chozer. Later we will discover in the connection between us.
No. Of course not. First of all, you discover your relationship with the Creator. And He dresses in the connection between you, in the 10. And out of that connection, you begin to discover Him, what He wants from us, what we want from Him, how we unite in order to discover all kinds of manners in Him. And He acts on us, what does He want? You begin to talk to Him. You begin to learn the spiritual language. And it's the language of the Creator with the created being. You all concentrate at the point of Malchut, and the Creator operates on you in all kinds of ways, and you want to respond to it. And then what develops between you, from you toward the Creator is called the prayer, or man, and from Him toward you it's called mad. And that's it. There's nothing else. Besides Malchut and Keter and what's between them, there's nothing in creation, nothing. You can't study above Keter. It's Atzmuto, His essence, His self. And everything ends in 10 Sefirot.
So from what I understand now, it's not to take this and to try to draw it into the 10, but more study about some relationship that exists.
We are learning all the wisdom of Kabbalah, so it would shine on us and awaken us to connect in the 10 and implement in the 10 what we learn in practice. Why not?
So how, what can I now from what we read?
From all of my friends, I want to establish, to build a structure called Ten Sfirot. And in the connection between us, in this skeleton of Ten Sfirot, I want to start working. This, I work this way, the friend works that way, and that friend works that way. And how do we arrange things between us and constantly raise a demand to the Creator and how He answers us? We begin to do mutual work. This is what we have to do. And that way we discover Him and understand Him better. He operates on us, we on Him. We make mistakes, we fall, we get up, we give. That's all the work, only in the ten.
Yeah? Let's say the articles of Rabash, the first 20 articles of Rabash, he truly tells us how to work in the ten.
They are the basis of how to build the ten, and afterwards it's how to work in the ten, how to start scrutinizing in the ten, all the other articles. Sometimes he goes back to the structure of the ten, of course. But everything else is what we realize in the ten, implement. So he takes the Torah, and because the Torah interprets this. There's nothing more in the Torah.
So what's the difference, let's say, between the articles of Rabash in the ten and the gatehouse of intentions in the ten?
It's several styles of writing. There's Taz, there's are the writings of the Ari, Zohar. They all talk about Ten Sfirot. There's nothing more than Ten Sfirot in creation. What else do Kabbalists have to talk about? Only the Ten Sfirot. They don't know anything more. No one knows anything more. Simple. All the laws of the Ten Sfirot and how all the Sfirot connect, by what? Through our work. So how do we, in those Ten Sfirot, are in reciprocity with the Creator? That's it. How we accept His providence, His guidance, and how we respond to it. How, through our actions, we behoove Him to be revealed to us in this way and that way, and how He operates on us. There are many subtleties here. And it's all the wisdom of Kabbalah, how we receive all the revelations of the Creator within the creature. Yes?
That's right. Let's say I personally can read this, no problem. It's fun for me. I enjoy this exertion, this intellectual, emotional effort. If there's a friend that doesn't understand what's written here at all, it's...
It doesn't matter.
What does his attitude need to be in the ten towards
his
this text?
His relation should be that I am reading this for the purpose of a cure. It promotes me, it opens my heart and mind, it somehow operates on my soul. I don't know about anything of what is done, but Kabbalists say that this is how you begin to develop my internal kelim, in which I have a point in the heart in me. In everyone. You can take someone from the jungle, from the Amazon. Not Amazon the store, Amazon River. From anyone. Every point has a point in the heart. It's just more concealed or less concealed. Anyone who wants to can develop that point by this, using this, into Ten Sfirot. Except what? When he begins to develop it, suddenly he won't be able to stay in the jungle in the Amazon. He'll suddenly have this opportunity and he'll be taken to a place where there are others like him. This is how you found the place. That's it. That's how we advance. I'm sure you heard it. Okay? Now, what's with you?
No.
Yeah.
He writes here that the Itkalelut of Gar in Tiferet is called Chagat, And then he adds that Netzach is its own Pchina and the Itkalut of Malchut in it, in Tiferet. So that means that the meeting of the emanator and the emanated is done in Tiferet?
The meeting between the emanator and the emanated is done in Yesod, in Hitkalelut, integration or incorporation of Malchut, in what comes before it. This is called Yesod. And that point is called Tzaddik. Tzaddik is the Yesod, foundation of the world.
Meaning only in Yesod, so what?
Yesod concentrates all the qualities. We will learn it, it's not just like that. Yesod concentrates all the previous qualities from above downward toward Malchut, and Malchut raises herself to Yesod. Afterwards, we'll see that even up to Tiferet and even up to Da'at. That is the middle line, Da'at Tiferet Yesod. It's an acronym in Hebrew. So this is how it's included in Hin, Chagat, and Chabad until she attains her the emanator in all her kelim. We will learn it. Okay? Yes. I took this text to read because it gives us like an overview or a general picture, a general perception of creation. And it's very important for us to, as much as you don't like to learn Taas. Here, it at least, all of creation is before us, and we can connect it with our work, with our internal mental efforts, and connect them with the Sfirot and Patsufim. Here, it's easier to tie them together than in Taas. Yes? Yeah.
He writes, there's an emanator, then emanated, which has four prinot, and then ak is keter, which is the root of everything, which is the emanator. And then there's nothing that is emanator and emanated other than the sfira of malchut.
Yes.
So who's the emanator? The malchut or the keter?
The emanator is keter, and the emanated is malchut. And what is between the emanator and the emanated is all the qualities by which the emanator wants to create the emanated being and bestow upon it. Is it the first time you hear about the ten sfirot? And the Dalet Prinot, the four phases?
So why does he write that nothing else is emanated but the sphere of Malchut?
Because Malchut is the created being. There's nothing but Malchut. You have Keter, a desire to bestow. You have Malchut, will to receive. And all the Prinot in between are about how the Keter, with its will to bestow, expresses itself in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of forms of relation toward the will to receive in Malchut in order to build her as fit to rise to his level and receive what is in him. Besides Keter and Malchut, everything in between is a system that connects them. Keter and Malchut together.
It sounds like Malchut is the emanator here.
Well, I don't know how you think, but you may be right according to the way you read it. Malchut is the emanated being. Keter is the emanator. Correct the book if you're reading it this way. I don't know. Where did you see it?
Where
is it written?
Written, but the way you understand, you're right.
It's where is it written?
Shura kulam. נמצא שכל העולמות כולם נכללים רק בשם הוויה אחת.
It turns out that all the worlds are included in the one הוויה.
מן לחוכמה בין התפארת למלכות, and the tip of the yud is מאציל, the world of ark, and I'm corresponding to that.
בטעם הדבר הוא, אין לך שום דבר נאצל ונברא.
And the thing is that there is nothing that was emanated in the creature.
Except through the sphere of מלכות. Well, yes, of course. All the variations, all the discernments and subtleties we have in Malchut are born, are a result of Malchut, of course. All the worlds in Patsufim, like in Malchut of the four phases of direct light. Okay, ask. I agree. There is a question. And the reason for it is that you have nothing emanated or created except through the Sfira of Malchut. And Malchut contains necessarily the four Bchinot above it, which are included in it and come before it, since she is the lowest one, etc. And therefore the ten Sfirot, etc. And then there's the development of Malchut. The Tzimtzum happens on Malchut or Chozer, and she begins to create, seemingly to create the world, etc. Yes, Dani.
What's
the story of the fire, wind, dust, and where's the source of all the New Age people like to use this? What's the source of all of that?
He talks about it. In Das, he also uses it. Fire, wind, dust, and sky is Chokhmah, Tiferet, Bina, Malchut.
Why specifically those names? Does it point to those?
They take from the four elements we have in this world. That's all we have. Fire, wind, wind, and dust, and you have plasma and all those things. But basically, in the world, as a result, you have Keter. As a result of Keter, you have Chokhmah, Bina, Tiferet, Malchut. So, fire, wind, water, and dust.
That's clear. I was just wondering if it's Kabbalistic concepts or if it's...
No, it's used in Kabbalah.
I'm asking many of our new students, they come from all kinds of places, and if we can connect it to them and make it interesting for them.
You want to switch as quickly as possible to Kochab Zon. Don't use names that might confuse us, as if we're taking some flour and start cooking something. No. Yes?
To continue the questions of the friends, it's not clear if Malchut is the end of the process or its beginning. Malchut.
Malchut is the final sphira from above downward, and the first sphira from below upward.
Yes, but in the cascading from above
it's
down,
the bottom one, the last one, and in building the world, it is the first.
After all that development, isn't it matter that's really similar to the Creator? That's it. It's done with the process. Why is there development after the end of the cascading from above down?
Oh boy, what are you asking? You're asking
that's
about
very confusing.
This. You've been asking questions for 10 years, and.
Yes, that's confusing.
From above downward, it's the bestowal or influence of the Creator on the created being. As a response, the created being has to do something, necessarily, on the Creator. The response of the created being to the Creator, it responds. And because it responds necessarily, we have our reality of this world. The imaginary. Why is it imaginary? Because we're not taking into consideration the reaction of the creature without any choice of its own. So it's not created, considered a created being. It's attributed to the upper one. When you look at all of creation, the still vegetative and animate in our world, they are all angels. Angels means that they react the way the creator compels them to react. And there are few, not many, who don't react the way the Creator operates them, but the way they choose to react. These kind of insolent guys, they put a tzimtzum and masach on themselves and want to show themselves how much they can act in creation. In resembling the Creator. These operations are called from below upwards. So, those who react in this way are those Kabbalists who choose what to receive, what not to receive, and how to respond to the Creator's influence on them.
The same matter of existence from absence went through this, a process until it would be called Malchut that is capable of responding?
Yes, Malchut Ein Sof reacts.
Okay, now it's clear to me. Now another question, Keter. Does the Malchut attain Keter?
In the end, Malchut obtains Keter. Malchut always attains Keter, but the question is, at what force, what power?
So why isn't it part of the field? Why isn't it considered part of...
Keter only bestows. It totally bestows. Malchut doesn't really attain Keter. She attains herself as a giver. And the extent to which she resembles Keter, there's a difference between attaining and resembling.
Okay. All right, that's okay. Thank you.
It's like little kids making believe. Like, he makes believe he is a driver, so he goes like that. So it's about resembling the Creator. You don't attain Keter. Keter is hidden. There are also many rules there. Marble stones and whatnot. It's Garda Atzilut. But there are limitations on what the creature can attain or not attain until the end of correction. What's after Gmar Tikkun, we don't know. Yes, David.
Now it's written here, there's nothing emanated or created other than the Sfirat Malchut.
Yes.
When is the reality of the Sefirot begin to exist? We know they're Pchinot. We know it's the last Pchina. When does it begin a reality of Sefirot?
I'll answer you. After Malchut makes the Tzimtzum, meaning says, I'm not receiving. And then she feels shame that the Creator is relating to her in this way, and she's relating back in that way. So as a result of the shame, just like afterwards, we learn about it, go diminish yourself, etc. So here in the beginning of creation, there's a different act or operation. She feels shame. So she makes it Tzimtzum, the Masach, the Ochozer, organizes herself in such a way that by rejection, by the Tzimtzum and Ochozer, she reveals the qualities before her. But now, not in a way that they fill her, like Malchut Ein Sof. She feels all those qualities, but as a way of filling. Once she makes the Tzimtzum, restriction, and rejects them, repels them, she begins to know them not as things that bring her fulfillment, but their character, their nature. There's a difference. If you, as a child, receive from the mother when she makes something you really like, so you receive it as Malchut Ein Sof. Or now you relate to your mother, to her relation, feeling toward me while making this. This is already working with the Tzimtzum and the Masach and Ochozer, so you attain her relation to you, and by that you build your relation. That's a difference. And from this comes Potsuf Galgalta, etc.
Exactly, so he continues here. I'm continuing because he once calls it Sfira and once a Pchina.
Yes, the Pchina, the checking, that's before the work. But from above downward, when it comes from below upward, when you work with equivalence and sympathy, then it begins to shine. The will to receive begins to shine, begins to work when it begins to sympathize with the Or Yashar, with the direct light.
So what does it mean that a Sfira emanates and creates, because it's written, because you have nothing emanated and created unless it's by the Sfira of Malchut.
Yes.
Meaning only when it begins to become a Sfira Malchut, when she has that kind of an attitude?
Yes, she begins to shine by raising Ochozel in all kinds of ways. She equalizes with the direct light when she's ready to to come in communication with the bestowal of the Creator and work in order to bestow. I don't do it in order to get satisfaction. I do it only for your sake, because you want to clothe in me. So, by all means, I'm giving myself to you.
And then from that, all the emanated and created are created from this desire.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead, ask. I want you to start making these things palpable. And don't forget, you have a chance to implement it in the group. Ketel is concealed, but he is present at the center of the group as a creator, as a source. And everything else you can establish, and then you will truly be at the gatehouse of intentions.
We learn that there are two qualities in the light, Chochmah and Chasadim, and then from them, in the Kli, six Pchinot are created. How can you...
Well, it's a little premature. You always kind of rush things. But I'll tell you, there is what extends from the emanator is light of Chochmah or light of Chasadim according to the response of the emanated being. It's according to the response of the emanated being. This is how it happens. It's not like there is O Chochmah or O Chasadim in the created being. Light doesn't come. It's always revealed with regard to something specific. If you don't have a desire to receive, the light of Chochmah isn't revealed. If you don't have a reaction of a desire to bestow, then the light of Chasadim doesn't become revealed to you.
So why is it considered that there are six pchinot inside this thing?
Six pchinot in what thing? What is this thing?
You described that the kli, that there's no light of chokhmah and light of chasadim, but the relation, the attitude of the kli towards the light.
No, well, it's according to how the kli relates to the light, it reveals in the abstract light that comes to us, either Chochmah or Chasadim. In the light itself, there are no Chochmah or Chasadim. It's according to the response of the creature toward it. In the Creator, there are no light of Chochmah or light of Chasadim.
That's clear, but why is that discernment considered six discernments? The relation of the creature towards the light.
That's how it's built. From the will to receive that we have as a point in Ketel, when the will to receive develops through the light wants the will to receive to develop in the desire to receive. The will to receive that is opened as a desire, and when it receives, as a result, it necessarily develops in all those discernments, right? Which are Chochmah, Binah, Chesed, Nevuah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod Yisod, Malchut. That's it. It's not like it's determined through something in between, but the relation between the will to receive and the will to bestow that exists in Keter. In Keter, you have a desire to bestow of the emanator toward the point of desire to receive of the future emanated being. It exists necessarily. This is why it's called Keter. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called Keter. And that's why it's called emanator. Toward the emanated being. It exists toward the emanated being. Therefore, in Keter, you have those two discernments, which later develop, and you get 10 Sfirot. It can't be otherwise. We learned it in the four phases of direct light. Right? We also learned about the Sfira Da'at and where it comes from. But it's not an additional Sfira. It's a discernment. We will go through it. It's certain to be before us. Who wants to? You asked. All right, ask. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Toronto.
This connection between the emanator and emanated in the doing, when all the qualities that every friend has, do we build this malchut that is made of all those qualities, and that's how it can connect to the Creator?
Each one toward his friends in the ten is like malchut toward the first nine, and the Creator is in between as the point of keto. But when we begin to work, you will see how these things constantly change. So, and each one has the chance to be this or this or this or that toward the others. This is number one. Number two, Los Angeles. Los Angeles.
Hi, Rav. Hello, Worldly. I have a question that, you know, Malchut and Keter, when we start purifying and extending the states, that, you know, it's a great rigid intention to hold. And how not take Chokmah, but always keep Hasadin during the work?
We will learn this, but it's not for now, guys. You're asking about something that will happen only a few lessons ahead. Next, silicon. Silicon.
Rav, the question is, how actually does the Creator get revealed in the ten? Because I always think about the group. One day, and then no one shows up to the lesson. On the other hand, if I don't think about the ten at all and I forget the group, all of a sudden everyone shows up. The question is actually, why effort? How does the mechanism of the Creator operating in the ten happen?
First of all, I'm happy that you are clever, and I'm sorry that you are a wise guy, because we mustn't take from our lives any conclusions. I have to make efforts without any of my intellect. I have to cancel it and just work as if I understand nothing. It doesn't matter if I'm like Rabbi Shimon or like Shimon from the market. I have to make an effort and not perform all kinds of calculations to do this way or that way. I have nothing more to say. Vilnius.
Good day, Rav, and the question is, when Malchut rises to Keter, it receives a response. So could you say that it actually scrutinizes her responses, meaning discerns herself towards Keter? She doesn't attain Keter, or she doesn't attain the upper force, but scrutinizes herself in relation to her?
Yes, correct. Turkey 3.
Hi, Ra. Hi, France.
Hi.
We have two questions.
No.
If you permit. The first one, Ersin is asking, what does it mean turning the sins into mistakes?
Zadon ze malchut.
A sin or an iniquity or a sin is malchut. The mistake is bina. When I raise my qualities from malchut to bina, it's called turning sins into mistakes. When I raise myself from bina to keter, it's called raising the mistakes into merits, commandments, mitzvot. Next question. Next question.
Merhaba Rav, merhaba dostlar. Sorum şu. Siz Yaradan'la ilk karşılaşma Yesod'da dediniz. Bu karşılaşma çift gizlilikten sonraki, tek gizlilikteki pişmanlıktan sonra mı?
אני מצטער, אבל...
היירה.
יש?
נו,
נו.
Ilmaz, go ahead, Ilmaz.
You thought that the first meeting is at the Yesod. Is this meeting, is it the after the second constellation, after the second
is it the
No, I don't want to answer such questions. I'm sorry. I don't answer questions that we are not learning about now. No. Only about what we read now in the book. Not more than that. So, French.
Shalom Rav. השאלה שלי לגבי להידמות ולהסיר.
Rav, my question is as to resembling and attaining. To be similar, the small one wants to be like the big one, he does like the big one, and he attains and becomes like a big one. How is that expressed in our work in the Ten?
We want to be similar to the Creator, to become similar to the Creator. This is really our goal. The attainment comes as a gift or... not payment, how should I put it? It's not even a reward. No, it's not a tendency.
I
don't want anything in my work, only to give. And the fact that I am receiving, to me, it's just an opportunity to give even more. I don't accept it as a reward. I use it only as a springboard for working on the next level, so to speak. All right, Latin America.
Anteriormente... dijo que si no tenemos preguntas es porque no entendemos o porque entendemos todo.
Prior to this, you said that if we don't have questions, it's because we don't understand or we understand everything.
¿Qué se obtiene de preguntar cuando no entiendo?
What comes out from me asking if I don't understand?
You should ask about what you don't understand. And then you will get a certain part of what you don't understand as an answer. And the other part, you will begin to think it on your own. Clear, right? And we also have MACVG.
Доброе утро. Должен ли я принимать претензии от товарища, что я не думаю о нем и не передаю ему уверенность?
If I need to receive complaints between the from the friends when I'm not thinking of friends and not passing on to them the confidence.
Of course, you have to cry because the friends see you this way, that you have no respect for them. Of course. And immediately now, start changing. If the friends are telling you this, this is already bad. If you are consuming yourself about not thinking about them, but if they're telling you, then your situation is probably really not good. Okay. Then, now we had USA, LA.
Hello, my beloved Rav. Hello, the Kli, the 110 of the world. It's written here. Here it emerged through a zivug in the Sfira of Malchut. What is this mechanism that's called zivug?
What is a zivug?
What is the mechanism?
A zivug means that there is a connection between the will to receive and the light. Or between the will to receive in one person and the will to bestow in another person. So their connection is called a zivug. Zivug means, zivug coupling means connection. There's a connection done by just connecting in this world, like people do in this world, an egoistic, corporeal connection. with a desire that comes from one and a desire that comes from the other. And there is a connection that is done actually by haka'ah, by striking. When two egoists don't want to connect egoistically, but above their egos, in bestowal. And now we're moving on to...
Marek has a report.
Marek has a report. Okay, where's Marek?
First of all, hello to everyone. I wanted to report a few things about the convention because we know that we have less than a month and many systems are working and we want to share everyone so everyone will know about all the things that are happening. So first of all, the status of our registration as of now for the big convention, 1,568 people registered. And we see every day the registration is growing and many people are being registered.
I want to say about this. Those who are in the Congress itself, in the Congress, inside the compound, the ground, it receives a special inspiration, force, and it will influence him for the rest of the year. I don't know what's happening with this. Well, this world is going in each day in a different direction. I don't know what's going to happen with our friends overseas. I don't know what's going to happen with all the viruses and what's happening. If there's still a chance to come to Israel, come to the Congress. Here, we want to establish a source of spiritual influence on every participant.
Yes, we also gave 65 requests for visas for our friends from countries that require visas in the process in the Ministry of Interior. There's some difficult situations as far as the documents. We're asking for the thoughts of all the world Kli, so that all those who have sent the requests, they will truly get this permission. These are special friends and they deserve to be with the convention, in the convention with us. It depends on our thoughts. That's the second thing. The third thing, in a week, we already have friends that are coming, to help prepare us the convention. 20 people are coming to Yariv for internship. They'll work for almost a month in preparations of all our systems, and we'll see them in the lessons, and we will feel that will already be the beginning of the convention. Well, there's also a request from the accommodations team. You received an email. Please send back your insurance. We don't want to have any problems. And do health insurance before you come. And whoever's from the World Kli who registered and received an email, please send back your insurance. Another special thing, there are many requests from the World Kli that's coming that want to be hosted by families. By our families, we have many Russian speakers, and they're asking from us, from Petah Tikva, from the Israeli Kli that speak Russian, that can host people in their homes. So please turn to us, and we want to sort those things.
Yes, we are asking you to open our hearts and welcome our friends.
And as an example, Simeon Vinikul always hosts many people in his house, and he went yesterday to buy a couch. So whoever will be with him, you should know that there's a good life there.
Good couch.
And last thing is help chaver. Really, today, the Unity Day was on here, the whole Israeli community. We talked about help chaver. Many friends, whole groups brought whole checks with thousands of shekels, and the tens now are collecting money for this. That's really every person that wants to come, please turn to Help Chaver. We're going to collect this money, and please, friends, whoever can, a little, let's really collect it so that this will be solved. So whoever wants to come to the convention will have the opportunity.
If I'm here at the center, for example, who should I give it to? Who gets the money? Who gives me a receipt, something?
There are many possibilities. There's a site of the convention where you enter, and there's a whole thing with explanation. Here's the site, there's the address. It's written there, a whole thing about help chaver, how to ask for help, how to give help. That's one thing. Whoever's in the center can collect it here. And the accounting department, there's a place you can give the money. There are many possibilities. Whoever wants, even if someone doesn't know, come to me and I'll explain.
Okay, yeah, we know where the accountant office is. All right, what else do we have?
Announcements?
All right, yes. But I want to talk, not now, but I want to speak to the musicians at the Congress, those who are preparing themselves to be this band. Dani, right? Because what happened now, in that evening, I wasn't very happy with it. It needs to be more, there needs to be more connection. All right? And?
Announcements. Evening lesson. You're invited to watch this evening at 6 p.m. Israel time live with Rav Leitman and Svi Atova. Thank you to our TVs on the TV viewers and good day. The Kabbalah convention, the connection, connecting to the root of life. Friends, you're invited to the World Kabbalah Convention 2020 that will take place from the 25th to the 27th of February in Tel Aviv. Please notice, early bird registration ends on the 13th of February. Please hurry up and register. For additional details, dial 1-700-509-209 in Israel or enter the kabco.il/convention site. We will conclude. Good day and have a wonderful day.
הנקודה שבלב מתגעגעת לחלקי נשמתה השונים גם אם לא מרגישה או יודעת היא נמשכת אל החברים משיעור לשיעור היא סופגת השפעת המאור אמיתי שבונה בתשוקה מיוחדת להשיג את הטוב ומדיב יש בינינו מרכז משותף לכל הנקודות שבלב אליו משתוקק, משתוקק ונשאר כי בו מתגלה האוהב יש בינינו מרכז משותף לכל הנקודות שבלב אליו משתוקק, משתוקק ונשאר כי בו מתגלה האוהב הנקודה שבלב מתחדשת ורוקמת מרקם של קשרים מקבל תחושה של הרשת שספוגה בת חברים הנקודה שבלב מתחברת לחלקי נשמתה שונים ופתאום מרגישה מאושרת מלאה אהבת חברים יש בינינו מרכז משותף לכל הנקודות שבלב אליו משתוקק, משתוקק ונשלח כי בו מתגלה האוהב יש בינינו מרכז משותף לכל הנקודות שבלב אליו משתוקק, משתוקק ונשלח כי בו מתגלה האוהב שבלב אליו משתוקק משתוקק ונשאר כי בו מתגלה